so it's kind of funny. And then once you get married and you're like, I'm married, this is awesome, I'm married, then you're like, I really, what's your next step? What do you want? You want kids. Whew, you guys do not want to sleep. Let me tell you what. I was like thinking the other day, my next opportunity for a nap is like 4 years from September. So I'm looking forward to that. But here we are, and then all of a sudden you get to be an adult, and you get to have kids, and you're 35, and you're 40, and you know what you wish? You could go back to middle school again. Seriously. And it's this vicious kind of cycle in life that we're discontent, and that discontent is wired deep within us. But the problem is, it can spoil the current season we're in, because timing is everything. And in each season, the wise response and the response that will bring you joy and contentment is not, oh, I can't wait till I get there. But it's to look around and say, okay, God, what opportunities are right here? Where is it that you want me to serve you? If I'm here for one more day or another 10 years, hopefully you're not in college for 10 years, but you never know. What is my purpose? How can I find this job at the movie store in Union City? How can I find purpose in that? Ask Lindsay. She does. How can I find this job at WOW, cooking people up chicken? How can I find purpose in that? How can I make my time most worthy of your calling as I'm struggling with where I'm at right now? What needs attention on campus this semester, God? What is it? What do you want me to pay attention to? You know, Blaise Pascal was a great philosopher, and he said this: many of us live in the past, reflecting on a season that we've already been through, either regretting the things that we should have done or reminiscing about the things we shouldn't have done. Or we live in the future, planning, anticipating, and expecting that someday things will be good and I will be happy and I will have a good time. And then you know what happens? If we live in the past or if we live in the future, we never actually live, because we're always miss the present. Wherever God has put you, be fully there. And what Solomon says to do is he calls us to appreciate the season that we're in and the season that we've been through. And he says every season of life is a beautiful opportunity. That's what Solomon reminds us of. Now, I believe that God's will for our life unravels in perfect timing. How many of you want to know God's will for your life? Like four of you. What the heck? What about the rest of you? What are you thinking? Are you here? Okay. You know, sometimes we spend so much time searching for God's will, we just wish we knew what he wanted us to do. Has anyone ever wished there was like this book you could like get out and be like, okay, October 24th, 2013, where should I go? Like, what should I do, right? What should my major be? Because I have no idea what's going on. Right there. All right. We look so carefully for the specific voice of God. God, just tell me what to do. That may be something you pray all the time. Lord, what is it that, okay, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to text her? I'll just wait right here till you ask me to text her. Then the girl's going, why isn't he texting me? What's going on? What's going on here? Okay, but you're just, Lord, tell me. Just tell me specifically what's going on. And here's the irony. Most of God's will for your life, yours. Most of God's will for your life is spelled out right in the scripture. We already know it. You want to know what God's will is for your life? I'll tell you. Ready? John 6:40. Believe and you will be saved. That's God's will. 2 Corinthians 8. Give graciously of yourselves to God and to others. That's God's will. Colossians 4. Stand mature and assured in your spiritual walk. That's God's will. You got to keep growing in Christ. You can't just stay the same. That's God's will. Matthew 18, go out and find your brother. Seek and save lost people. This is God's will. Be on a mission of mercy. God's telling us what we're supposed to do right here. It's not like go to Cooper at 12 and see the woman of your dreams, but it is things in the scripture that is asking us to put our time and energy. In every season, Romans 12, 1 through 2 says, offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Don't conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and we will be able to discern God's good and perfect and pleasing will. What if it's not so much about the city we live in, or the job we pick, or the college we finish, or the major we get, or the person we're going to marry, but what if it's more about the way we choose to live out those things? It takes a little pressure off, doesn't it? And then all of a sudden, finding God's will for your life is all about just walking through open doors. It's just about taking opportunities that lay before us, using our gifts to serve other people. It's about loving people that God puts in our life and not trying to make relationships for position or dishonest gain. And all of a sudden, just life feels a little easier. We don't have to stress out so much about what it is. When I was a sophomore in college, I was trying to decide whether I should transfer to Springfield, Missouri, or stay in Clarion. I went to Clarion my freshman year, and I toiled over this decision. I mean, I prayed until I was like blue in the face. God, just tell me what to do. Why aren't you telling me what to do? Tell me what to do. And God, so clear as day, said to me, I remember I was sitting in that Earth Space Science class where we had to classify rocks. That's very unimportant right now in my life, but I learned how to do that. And I remember the Lord just saying to me, Nicole, just pick. And if you go there, serve me. And if you stay here, serve me. But just pick. And so I chose to go there, and that's where I got introduced to Chi Alpha, and wow, here we all are. So there was a plan for that. But I really felt like God was just saying, there are two good options. I do that sometimes. Just pick and serve me in that option wholeheartedly. So what season of life are you in? What season of life are you in? Verse 3 says, a time to be born, a time to die. Hopefully not the latter. You're all born. You're not dying, hopefully anytime soon. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. I think some of us, you're on the verge of a new job, a new semester's coming up. Allie and I were just talking about internship opportunities. Maybe some of you are picking internships for next year. You maybe are in a new relationship. Maybe you have a new baby. And things are being born into our lives. Things are being built into our lives. Maybe a new friendship is forming or a new, maybe you just joined a sorority and you're beginning to understand it and or a fraternity and commit to those other men and women. A time to build. And for some of us, it's a time to tear down and a time to uproot, and we're suffering change or loss. Change can be really difficult. You may recently have had to choose to tear down an existing relationship, or maybe an existing habit, or maybe a belief that you have held on to that you finally just have to let go because you realize it's not true. Or maybe it's a negative attitude that you have to kill that has just wreaked havoc in your thoughts. Or maybe you need to watch a dream die, realizing it's just not for now. There is a time when things begin, and there's a time when things end. Are you in that season? Verse 4 says there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. You know, I think sometimes it's our time to weep and mourn. And we can't always pray that season away. And I think sometimes we trick ourselves and think, you know, if I was a real Christian, I wouldn't have any difficult moments. I mean, I'm supposed to have joy. Joy. I'll be joyful. Joyful. You know, life is just hard sometimes. It is. There's a time to weep and a time to mourn. And I think sometimes we pray intensely that our difficulties will go away and God doesn't remove them. And some difficulties can't be prayed away. And there's a time to weep and a time to mourn. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed and not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, right? Here's the good news. It's a season, and seasons end. There will be an end. There will be an end. There will be. Let me encourage you tonight. If you're in the weeping and the mourning season, I really am deeply sorry because I've been there. It is terrible. But it will end. And then there will be a season to laugh and a season to dance. And that will happen. And maybe you're in that glorious season right now, and let's not be a Debbie Downer, okay? You can dance and laugh, and that's okay, because God has put you in that season. But there are those two different sides of things. All right, let's keep going. Verse 5. There's a time to scatter stones, a time to gather them, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. In the Old Testament, these people gathered rocks. Do you know what they gathered rocks for? Does anybody know? Okay, they kept them as artillery. So in case they ever had like a conflict or they had to defend themselves, they would be like, no, we're not singing that worship song, you know, and they would like throw it and they would have what they needed. So here's what this part is saying. There is a time to prepare. There's a time to prepare for conflict, to gather your stones, and there is a time to scatter them. So here's the deal. There is a time to say to someone, hey, you have really hurt me and we're going to work through this. And there's a time to just let it go. Did you hear me say that? There is a time to just, sometimes you just got to let it go. And you just got to move on. And there's a time just to scatter those stones. There's a time to embrace and there's a time to refrain. So stop hugging people that don't want to hug you. But I think this actually refers to people coming in and out of your life. Some of you have had painful relationships end, people that you loved, people that you adored, that you embraced with your heart and your life, maybe even your arms at some point, and they decided to go a different direction. They had different conclusions. Maybe something happened to them that and some unforgiveness and bitterness creeped in, and all of a sudden that relationship has come to an end. And by golly, you want it in your life, but they don't. You can't make someone love you. We can't control people. Everyone makes their own decisions. And it's heartbreaking when that time to embrace ends if we don't want it to. But God says that that is a season. Verse 6, there's a time to search, a time to give up, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak. I think there is a time to mend. There's a time that you say to yourself, you know, I'm going to bandage up my wounds and move on. Lamentations is this entire book of the Bible devoted to grief. And actually, Lamentations is an acrostic poem. Have you ever seen an acrostic poem? It's like if you take like Aaron and then you're like E, excellent. Are righteous, whatever. And you go through like their name like that. And Lamentations, actually in the original language, the entire book is an acrostic poem. Isn't that cool? So it's actually like all the letters spelling something. And each paragraph in its original language begins alphabetically. It goes through the Hebrew language. And it's written like this to give context to suffering. It says that suffering is going to happen, but suffering has boundaries. And every moment of pain is closely monitored by the living God. And at a certain point, God says, enough. Evil is not inexhaustible, it's not infinite, and suffering is not worthy of a lifetime of attention. Timing is important. There's a time to mend. There's a time to love. There's a time to hate. There's a time for war and a time for peace. I think that sometimes these seasons we walk through in life don't seem very beautiful. Nor do they seem to produce very beautiful things. Have you ever done or ever seen like a cross stitch picture? You know, like the front of it. Like my grandma does them. You might have seen one like on your grandma's bathroom that says like, use the toilet paper or whatever. And you know, on the front, it's like all really nice. But if you turn it over, the back, if you've ever seen the back of those, it is like not very beautiful. There's knots and snarls and it kind of looks like a mess. Shake your head if you're like, yeah, I get this word picture in my head. All right, there's nothing beautiful about it. The colors don't match. There is no blending. And that's what Solomon calls life, basically. 29 times in Ecclesiastes, he says it's like life behind a cross-stitch picture. It's looking up and being like, this doesn't look very beautiful to me. This looks like knots and snarls and frayed loose ends. It looks like all the stuff I jacked up over here and then the way this person hurt me over here. And how am I ever supposed to get started and go this direction? And it doesn't look like anything beautiful to me. It doesn't look like there is a great artist up there weaving together this beautiful piece of tapestry called history. And then all of a sudden, you flip it over. And what you see is from God's vantage point. And it's beautiful. And he's weaving history together just exactly as he desires. And from under the loom, from our end, it looks horrible. From above it, though, it just looks glorious. And you can see the symmetry and the color and the orderliness. And from God's perspective, he sees us from beginning to end, and all we get is this little sliver of our life, the short few years and a couple deep breaths that we call existence. And God is just looking all across time, and he makes everything beautiful in its time, because timing really is everything. Our great God uses guys like Herod, who killed Jesus, like an axe in his hand for his purposes. And he uses betrayers like Judas to fulfill prophecy and to bring about the redemption of his people. And we have a God who uses everything, everyone, every day, every minute, every opportunity, and he bends it all back toward his will. He bends it back towards his beauty. And one day, I believe if we trust him, we will sit with him and we'll see what he's doing from beginning to end, and it will be a glorious day. And we will see the fabric of our lives as part of the tapestry that is weaving through history. And it won't look so messy anymore. It won't look so confusing and knotted up and junky. It'll just look beautiful because we'll be seeing it from the other side. So I want to just invite, I asked four of our student leaders to come up, and they're going to smash on this couch, maybe, I hope. So Megan and Panda and Nate and Tay, would you come up? Would you guys give these guys a round of applause? And I just wanted them to share with you a little bit from their perspective a couple things. So I'm going to ask them just a couple questions here. And the first one is this. What season of life, after kind of talking about those seasons, would you identify with right now? Kind of the season of life you're in.
I would say definitely a season of building and embracing a lot of new friendships and relationships here on campus, and just recovering from the transition of us coming from the summit and starting almost a brand new ministry here at Edinburgh. It's been really good to be a part of that, and it's just been nice getting to know so many more people here. But yeah.
Matt, by the way. Yay. Say hi, Matt. Thanks, Dottie. Good. All right, who else? This is Megan.
Hi, everybody. I think that my season right now is just breaking down a lot of things that I used to do before, just, you know, changing things up and rebuilding. There's tons of stuff changing right now. This semester is so much different than every other semester, but it's good, and I'm being forced to change in ways that aren't so comfortable, but it's good. There's change happening. It's good.
No? Okay. Hi, I'm Tay-Tay, or Taylor, whatever. Hi, Daddy. I think that probably in my life, I'd probably say more of a plant or uproot, because there's been times, pretty recently actually, that I just wanted to quit my major. I'm a nursing major, and I was trying to convince myself that it was not the path that I was meant to be. I've been told by plenty of people that I would make a great nurse, and I've convinced myself of it, but when things got rough, I told myself that this is not where I was supposed to be. I needed to quit. I needed to uproot and move somewhere else, and I planned that. I told everybody that I could think of that I was quitting nursing and I wasn't going to do it anymore, but right when I decided to make the change, I feel like God was like, yeah, you're funny, you're not going anywhere. And it hasn't gotten easier as far as school, but when I heard that, I was like, all right, well, I have to finish this to the end. So I kind of planted myself here, and through the good, the bad, and the ugly, I know this is where I'm supposed to be, so.
Thanks. All right, and Nate, why don't you talk about the season you think you're in and how God has helped you enjoy it, whether it's good or bad or wherever you're at.
That's it. Okay. I'm Nathan. I would say the season I'm in right now would be love, and it's not like romantic love, but love for my neighbor, love for everybody around me. Chi Alpha this year is Love Out Loud. So that rings true to me. And in my profession right now, I am doing clinicals at a mental hospital. And these people have nobody to love and nobody to be loved by. And to just be able to stand there and be with them and love them is something that they have never experienced. And, you know, the feeling that I get from watching them react to different ways I handle things is an amazing thing, and I know it's all from God. But yeah.
All right, how about explain how God has changed your view of your purpose here at Edinburgh? Like maybe what you thought it was and kind of how he has molded that for you.
Since I was in eighth or ninth grade, I have wanted to be a youth pastor, and I was working towards that up until last year when God brought me a decision where I had to figure out whether I wanted to continue on my path to be a youth pastor or devote my time to college ministry. And I spent a lot of time in prayer and thinking about it, and I realized that God's actual purpose for me was college ministry. So it was a big mindset change, a big decision I had to make. But I'm glad I did, and I've enjoyed every moment of it since then.
Well, when I first came to school, I thought that I was supposed to be here for to be an animator, and that's what I was focused on. And I was just like, you know, God just wants me to be an animator. I don't know why. But now, 3 years in, it's crazy, time flies by, I feel differently about that. I mean, I'm not an animation major anymore, but that's not like really the point, but I feel like I've been here for other reasons than just my major, you know, like I'm here at school to become something, but God has brought me to so many other things that have nothing to do with my major, and that's really cool. I think I'm being called to just love people and be here and, you know, live. So. Thank you. Either of you
wanna? Okay. How about this? What opportunities or doors has God opened for you that has brought you like more into God's will? We kind of talked about sometimes it's not about figuring out like the exact A plus B plus C, but walking through open doors. So did you resonate with that?
I can answer that. Well, through nursing, there's a lot of opportunity that I found, and I recently decided to go on a missions trip to the Dominican Republic, so I would feel like that's a door and an opportunity. I especially want to go on this trip just to really secure in my mind if that's what I want to do with my future and my career with nursing. And the cool thing about missions and, you know, going and serving is you are doing God's work and you are loving people who have nothing. And I think it's going to be very eye-opening for me. And the other awesome thing is that you don't just have to be a nurse. You can just go and you want to be able to serve. So I would say missions is huge. It's a huge door. And it's very open here too for people to go and to serve. And just, you know, another opportunity is just getting in the hospital and talking to these people who are sick and being able to heal them and use my talents that I have.
I'd probably say that Edinburgh has definitely made my relationship with God stronger. I don't think I expected that. Coming to, I guess, a public university. My sisters both decided to go to a Christian-based university, and I really connected with Edinburgh when I got here, and I never knew that I wanted to be a nurse. I've been kind of in and out of hospitals for as long as I can remember, so I didn't ever think I wanted to go back, and I think like God kind of put it on my heart, like, wouldn't it kind of be cool if you helped people the way that you've been helped, and I got to college and I didn't know about any Christian groups like Chi Alpha. And one of the worship members was like, hey, you should come. And I was like, no, probably not. And I said that no for a couple of times. And then she was like, no, really, just check it out. It's not like you don't have to go sit and go to church. And So I gave it a try, and honestly, that was like that was one of the things I remember from freshman year, is coming to Chi Alpha and just like my life just like changed. I just felt God's presence so much more, and I just feel so much closer to God. I mean, I never was afraid to show my love for God, but now definitely it's just kind of like I'd rather invite people, talk to my patients about it if I'm at will to do that, like, or if I'm like able to, if they're okay with it. And it's just spreading God's word in ways that I never knew that I could on campus and, like Nate said, in a hospital. So my relationship definitely took off, like, other way.
Thank you, T. Do you guys have anything else you want to say? All right, give these guys a little round of applause. Good work. All right, so the passage in Ecclesiastes 3 closes, and it says that when you die, because you will, God will call your past into account. And you will stand before God, literally. It'll be as if we took your life and Ben and Peter put it on film, but without the cool effects. And it'd be played before you. And all the things you did when you thought no one was looking, God will have on there. And all the things that you did that you never got caught for, and your all-knowing God will bring them up and bring your life into account. So that's what the scripture says. The ugly seasons, beautiful seasons, the weeping, the mourning, the speaking, the mending, the breaking, the loving, the hating, all of that. All those seasons will be there. And if your life is going to be on film for all of eternity, you better put together a decent plot, right? Live in such a way that as he's showing the film, that you're not saying, could you just fast forward through my 20s? In my 30s, I didn't really do anything great till I was 40. And for those of you who don't know Christ, you will see all of your sin and that is all, and all that has caused you to be guilty toward a holy God. But for those of you who choose to be friends with God and with Christ, any sin that God brings into account, he will show, and then he will show Jesus Christ dying for that sin and paying the consequence for that sin. And I believe that the reality of God's love and forgiveness will be stark that day. We'll understand it more than we ever. We'll understand it here on earth. We'll understand it deeper than we ever feel, even when we're standing here singing the best worship song that we know how. And I guess my encouragement to you tonight, and as I was just writing this out, dog tired because I got two kids that don't sleep ever. In all of the seasons of life that you will encounter, just don't miss it. Don't miss your life. I don't want you to be so frantic and forgetting about the hand of God that one day you die and at the end you watch it and you realize that God was everywhere, but your eyes were closed and you just didn't even see it. And one day you realize that you missed every opportunity that he gave you to laugh and to eat and to drink and to cry and to work and to save and to spend. And I want you to live with Christ. I want you to die with Christ. I want you to rise with Christ. And so when he brings that all into account, I want you to celebrate with Christ. You and I both know we can't determine whether we'll have many days here on earth or few. But we can determine whether or not our life will be full or empty and whether or not we will take those times that God gives us. That's what you can decide. So the worship team is going to come right now, tonight. And just as we close, these friends are going to actually stand up and kind of spread themselves out and have some anointing oil for you. And here's what we're going to do. Stand up, actually. Stand up. In the scripture,